Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DMVR Avalanche podcast. We got AJ, we got Eric, we got Rudo. It's a Wednesday off day for the Avs. Ugh. We're going to talk a little bit of around the league, a little bit of the playoff picture, a little bit of everything. Wanted to start with the news of yesterday and today, though. Phil Kessel reporting to Abbotsford for a little workout, tryout, whatever you want to call it with Vancouver. Eric, I know you're going to tell me about the relationships there, but why does Vancouver want Phil Kessel?
Dude,
I don't know. I mean, listen, what is that?
They just pulled a cheese stick out of the chair.
String cheese.
What?
String cheese out of your ass?
No, it was in my pocket. I was like, what's in my pocket? What's happening here? Oh, what is that? Is string cheese in my pocket?
That's sorry, gross. I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that.
Big Phil Kessel energy, right?
Yeah, that was well timed on accident.
Are you gonna eat it or?
No, I'm gonna put it in the fridge when I get home.
Oh, I was gonna have it.
Do you want it?
Warm cheese from his pocket?
Yeah. What the
cheese touch?
It's enclosed.
The cheese touch. You're right. I'm gonna talk about the relationship. You know, so when you're making a move like that. We're not internally in their discussions, right? You know, Vancouver, but Jimmy Rutherford, right? President, Vancouver Canucks. Patrick Alvin, GM, Vancouver Canucks. Rick Tocchet, head coach, Vancouver Canucks. What did they have in common? They're all in Pittsburgh together, right? So somewhere, somehow, they like the fit, or else they wouldn't be doing this. They feel that he would bring something to their team. Obviously, he didn't play in the playoffs last year with the Knights, right? But he seemed to have, like, had a good attitude and everything. So, I mean, by the sounds of it, right? Because the guys were all talking about him. So, which is something back then that you didn't hear good words about him. You know what I mean? Like, good, you know, kind words.
But that reputation started to change in Pittsburgh
because
with those guys.
It's because of talk. Yeah. So, I've talked to talk back then about him. And he goes, hey, listen. Because I'd be like, hey, that's the one guy I didn't think you'd get along with. And I think talk, that's one of his strengths. And he's figured out how to he had a kid graduate from college last year. But, you know, knowing this generation, you know what I mean? Like, not fighting the generation, but actually try to understand them. And I think when you think of talk, like, you think of somebody that is just so old school and everything. And he's still got his old school values. But he's done a good job of that. And I think Kessel was maybe his first protege, you know what I mean, when they won the cup there in Pittsburgh. He did a fabulous job. And quite frankly, that's what got him back, you know, in the NHL, like as a head coach, because people like were like, oh, wow, he did a good job with Phil Kessel, you know what I mean? So there's a relationship there. He hasn't played. He's in Abbotsford, right? He hasn't been signed. He's just skating there just to see how things are at. Who knows? You know, again, it's always a question of fit. If they feel that, well, they have something cooking, and then they're going to need a right winger. We never know what's in the cooker. So, can he still play? He hasn't played in almost a year now. Like, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Don't be fooled by the hot dog pictures. Don't be fooled by the, you know what I mean? Like, this guy, like, He might not look like an athlete, but he's always been a well-conditioned. Like, I don't know him, but I've always heard unbelievable well-conditioned athlete. And when you're talking about test scores and everything, and you're going to practice and skating circles around everybody, I guess this guy can go. He's got the engine. He might not have the look of it, but the engine is there. So we'll see.
It's really the same thing the Avs just did. Was exactly. That crazy?
I was just going to say
that's
that.
Exactly what yeah. It is, except I don't see what Vancouver needs a Phil Kessel for.
Again, yeah, it's insurance. I agree. Oh, I'm trying to grab your hand there. Cheese stick, hand touch. But again, I'm jumping in for a second. We don't know what they got cooking.
I understand.
Right? You might lose like Garland. You might lose something. I don't know what it's it is, true. But... So you have that in the back burner. There,
maybe it makes sense. That's I it. Get
yeah,
it,
no, but. I'm with you though. Why would they need that? I agree. I don't know. I don't see it.
You're looking at a Vancouver team that is absolutely shooting the roof off of the building.
Yeah, you would like a reinforcement there when that shit stops.
I don't know that how much Phil Kessel reinforces that at this point here, but look.
Yeah.
Whatever. They clearly see something there, so who am I to judge?
It's a known commodity for them.
In theory, it raises your floor. It just makes you just that much, just a little bit better. At this point, you're min-maxing your roster.
Sure.
So, you know, after they made the Lindholm move, they made the Zadorov move, they've kind of done what they're going to do by and large here. They might add another guy, and that's what you're saying. You know, we don't know what else they kind of have in their sights. If they were to bring a Tanev back, they're going to have to move money out. That's Garland money.
Yeah.
That was okay. Point. So yeah. Phil Kessel is, you know, it's a great point. So it gives them insurance. It gives them flexibility to make a move like that where they're saying, okay, well, if we move Garland out, now we don't have anybody here. You know, now we don't like what we've got here. Adding a guy like Kessel, assuming they do sign him, adding a guy like Kessel makes that easier. In the same way that even if the Avs bring in Landeskog, Nichushkin, and Kovalenko, having Zach Parise around come playoff time, but
obviously look, more guys is better than less guys. I get that,
and I think that's just where I just think that's where we're talking here.
I don't think he's going in there to be on the first power play and then first line, with Lindholm.
You're just min maxing your roster. It's just it's free.
It's a known commodity. That's it. You know, sure. They know him. You know.
I just don't know how, barring another move, I don't know that he really moves the needle.
That's a legit concern of yours. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with it.
But, you know, whatever.
I mean, we're not concerned about the Canucks, but, you know.
They feel like it's a move worth making. Go for it.
Go for it.
They can have their fun and see what happens with it.
Mm-hmm.
Other bit of news, and we talked about this on the watch along yesterday a little bit, but we can talk about it on the actual pod. 5-game suspension for Morgan Riley for the whole Ridley Greig slap shot into an empty net situation. We're all entirely cool with how everything went down, yes?
Yep. Cool with the slap shot. Cool with Riley's response. Not cool with him, how he did it. Cool with him, like, being upset about it.
Yep.
And
bring your stick down 6 inches, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, hitting guys in the head, it's just not...
Can't do that.
The what we've learned over the last 20 years in professional sports.
Yep.
Hitting guys in the head is just it's not cool.
I agree with you, and just to back up your point, you're mad at him, fine. You want to do something about it? Fine. I think even good. If you're mad about it, go do something about it immediately. It doesn't have to be this thing where next time they play, oh, now Ridley Greig's got to answer the bell or whatever.
Yeah, next November.
Yeah, it's like just...
Neat.
He's allowed to style on you because he just ended the game and you're allowed to be mad about it.
Yeah, totally.
And you can solve it in the way that hockey players solve things. Totally fine. You just can't bop him in the head.
Yeah.
That's all.
And five games is shocking because it's like... We've long advocated for harsher punishments for players for things.
They've rarely done it
as true deterrents for especially headshots.
Yep,
they rarely do it. We'll see. Oh, this guy got fined $5,000, or this guy gets a game for something that we think should get 4 or 5. I think this is even heavy-handed, but I'm always going to be
more okay with that side of it.
It's maybe my worst take here is that I'm very pro hockey cop on this one. Give him the 5 games to try and curtail that kind of behavior. Take an authoritarian stance.
Right. I'm here for it.
I mean, it's funny. I guess I was watching him in an interview yesterday, and then I play with his dad. Remember I was telling you guys a story? Mm-hmm. He put a freaking frozen fish under my bed at the hotel, and I couldn't figure out like why my hotel stunk so bad. That was
It was just you, bud.
You know, it was Ridley Gregg's dad, and his mom, great people. He looks just like his dad, so it's crazy to watch him on interviews yesterday answering, you know, about the the incident. Hey, you know what? I think he answered the question like you just said it. You know, hey, whatever. I saw the opportunity to do it, and I just did it. You know, like whatever. You know, I don't think he seemed like rattled by it or whatever. So I got no problem with it. I got no problem. And like you said, it's just, you know, you got to remember, this happens in a, you're talking about half a second when this shit goes down. You're on the ice. You're Morgan Riley. You're not a violent guy. He's not a he's not about violence, but you have half a second. Like, if you don't answer, you get the whole city of Toronto and the media saying like, oh, look, they're so soft. Nobody responds. And like, you're right. You know, he just did it. It happened. I don't think he meant to get him in the head. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
But if he just gets him, jumps on him, then there's a melee, then it's all good. It's not even
throw him out of the game and you're done. Yeah.
I think it's just, it's a matter of half a second. The stick went up, you know, again.
Yep.
If he had no stick, just drop your stick, jump on him, and then nothing would have happened. You know, it would have been a melee and awesome. Everybody talking about it like we are, but no suspension.
I think you're right. My other question there is, is stuff like this good for hockey? Not the hitting him in the head, the little bit of flair, the Ridley Gregg slapping one into an empty net. Is that a good thing for hockey? Do you need to see more, I don't know if you want to call it personality or whatever. Does that help build storylines, or do you think it's superfluous, unnecessary stuff?
I don't know that it helps build storylines, but I don't have any problem if a player, I don't find it all that disrespectful.
Me
to
either.
To the game or the other team or anything like that.
I'm all for this type of stuff.
It's a slap shot into an empty net. Who cares? In the same way that we used to. I know you and I have always agreed about this, but bat flips and
they're sick. They're awesome.
And staring down, you know, admiring your home run when you hit one 480 feet and you absolutely know that thing is out of the yard.
Yep.
Take a good look, man. What's wrong with it? We don't have very many opportunities for stuff like that in hockey just because of the mechanics of the sport.
Yep.
I don't really have an issue. If he wants to take a slap shot into an empty net, who cares?
Well, here's what I'll say. I don't have an issue. I think it's more about your own personality. You know what I mean? Like, sure. For example, and I don't know Ridley, okay? So I know his parents. Yeah. I don't know him. So he takes that shot, right? Correct. Whatever. We're all good. I don't have a problem with it. It's a little bit of flair, like you said. I don't have anything against that. But I don't see Sidney Crosby do that. I'm using an example. I think it goes with your personality. So if you want to show a little bit of flair, I've been seeing a lot of college hockey lately, right, for all the reasons.
Yeah.
And I see that, and the guys score, and they go in front of the other bench, and they're like, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're showing their stuff. You know, that's a little more show-off-ish. But my point is if that's what you do, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I think if your personality doesn't make you do that, then okay, fair enough, too, with that. I'm okay with that. My only thing I'm going to say, though, is it's kind of like bulletin material, whatever. Like, what do you call that?
French. Bulletin board material?
Bulletin board, yeah. Sometimes, sure. you score a goal, and it's the second period, and you go in front of the other team bench, and you're like, you're going at it. Sometimes you can wake up a little bit, the sleeping bear, right? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, and then you lose the game. It's like, I don't know.
That's
like,
great for the game, though. Exactly.
That's
great
for the game. That's what I'm not arguing. I'm telling you, I said that I'm okay with it. As long as you're able to back it up and to do your stuff, but be yourself. Like, don't try to be something you're not. And if that's what you are, you have a little bit of flair, then so be it. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're more boring, then be boring and then just go, you know, go tap your teammates on the boards. You know, you don't have to.
Brandon Tanev blowing a kiss to the Avs crowd last year.
Yep. Right, yeah, exactly.
You know, like, great, like, villain move.
But then it turned around on him.
Yeah, like, great villain move. Yep. You know, like, that's awesome. I think that's great stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I
was pissed at the time because I was just, like, mad that he scored and the Avs were not good.
I'm old school. I wouldn't do that, but that's me. That's not my personality, you know? But that's okay.
But we've talked for a long time that, especially at the top of the NHL, you know, Connor McDavid's a robot.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard has no personality to this point. He's still a teenager, so he hasn't figured out who he even is as a human being yet. But you know, having some more of that kind of flair, that kind of real person. Austin Matthews scoring 4 goals in his first ever NHL game and not smiling. It's like, yeah, come on, like, man. Like, do we need another robot in this sport? Do we need another, you know, like, emotionless? Like, it's fun.
Yep.
You are playing a game.
Yep.
Let's have some fun.
Guess what just dawned on me right now? Oh, freaking ridiculous you look with that hat. I love it. I just realized you have that hat.
We weren't supposed to talk about it. We weren't ever supposed to mention it.
Oh, I just realized that. I'm like, my God, the show started. He's got the hat.
Ruined the bit.
Shit, sorry. I'm talking to you, and I don't know where to look. Do I look like the hat, the face? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know where to look.
That hat is the size of the Western Conference playoff bubble, so...
Well played.
It's an accurate...
This is a nice segue.
An accurate nice segue. Representation. We will get into the Western Conference playoff bubble in just a second, but first, make sure you're getting your snack on. Get inside of that hat, in the inner circle of that hat, if you would. there is kind of an inner circle in there, isn't it?
There is.
Put it in there.
Perfect. Get with Circle K and the Inner Circle today. You can use the QR code on screen or go to CircleK.com/innercircle today to get a bunch of amazing things, including your first 5 fill-ups of gas are 25 cents off a gallon, and you get your first 5 Polar Pops for free. Tons of other great deals when it comes to Circle K. You can get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to 31310 today. Get yourself a free Polar Pop. Why not? Absolutely delicious. And then join Inner Circle at CircleK.com/innercircle to get a bunch of other amazing rewards. And then when you need a little bit of money to get your Circle K snacks on, make sure you're hitting up American Financing. You've seen interest rates drop into the fives. It's the lowest they've been in a really, really long time. And American Financing saves their customers an average of $854 a month. They do it by wiping out high interest credit card debt. $850 a month is over $10,000 in a year. So that's a ton of money that they can save you. Because credit card interest rates are kind of crazy and they wipe out a bunch of that. All of their people are salary-based mortgage consultants, so they're not trying to get any extra money. They just want to find the best option for you. So make sure you're hitting up American Financing, available in all 50 states. They can help you anywhere. You can give a call to American Financing today, and they may be able to delay up to 2 mortgage payments for you. When you call, let them know DNVR sent you at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000, or go online to AmericanFinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the 5 start at 6.406% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 303-695-7000 for details about credit, costs, and terms. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. On to the main topic of the day, which is that Western Conference playoff race. To start, and we won't talk too much about these teams, but very clearly, you have in the Central Division, Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg are all, barring catastrophic collapses in these last 30 games, going to make the playoffs. Winnipeg already a buyer, very clearly. They did go out and get Monahan, which you guys can talk about if you have thoughts on that. And then in the Pacific, you have Vegas and Vancouver also very clearly going to make the playoffs. Vancouver already a buyer as well. So 5 teams at the top that are very clearly in the playoffs. We've talked about it a lot with the Avs. We don't have to get too much into it unless you guys want to talk about Monahan or the purchases Vancouver have made. And then you have another tier below that, which is currently L.A., which is kind of their own whole mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Central Division side, you have St. Louis in the wild card spot. If you don't have anything to say about the top guys, my question would be, are we looking at the correct wild card teams, or do you think we're going to see the wild card teams change down the stretch here?
I don't mean to use this as a cop out, but I think that the next 3 weeks is when those teams determine, are we buying, are we selling?
And you that's kind of why I want to have the conversation.
Because it's not so much, you know, St. Louis, I think, is probably going to, St. Louis is always taking themselves seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And last year was one of the only times that we've seen them really sell at a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
in several years because it was obvious it wasn't happening. They didn't have the right mix. They were playing horrible. They were just bad.
Yep.
So they pulled the plug and they got assets. They made the right call. It was a hard decision, but they made the right decision. I think you look at the teams chasing them. Calgary is still going to have to sell. They still have guys that they're looking to move on from. You know, from Tanev to Hanifin, maybe even a Mangiapane slips in there. I'd be surprised.
Depending on how much they want to blow it up.
Exactly. Yeah. Depending on how much the arms race in the West especially kicks up.
Yep.
We'll see. Nashville's in kind of this weird spot where outside of UC Saros, is there really anybody that you're looking at their roster going...
It's not great.
They would be willing to move them because it's easy to look at it and be like, oh, Ryan O'Reilly would look great here. Yeah. But
I do it on a 4-year deal. Are they really going to?
Yeah. Like right now, they're not going to move them.
Yeah.
No.
So it's more who would teams actually be making available?
Yep.
You know, Minnesota, we've kind of wish casted with the Erickson Ek.
Yeah.
You know, could we? Wouldn't that be amazing? I would do irresponsible things to get to that.
Yep.
But oh, it's irresponsible. Like eating a cheese stick out of your pocket?
Oh, I mean, I don't even think that's irresponsible. I would do that. I'm just on air. Now, eating a cheese stick out of your pocket. I don't know, man. But, you know, you also look at these other teams, Seattle, Arizona. Arizona doesn't really, we went into it like, oh, Jason Zucker would be a guy.
Yep.
Jason Zucker is no longer a guy that makes any sense whatsoever for the Avalanche. Yeah. So, and they're still maybe close enough. It's a real stretch. It's a real stretch to consider them a playoff contender. But
no.
With 30 games remaining, 8 points is not insurmountable.
It's pretty tough.
It is tough.
You could do it.
Okay, I'm gonna say just to add to that point, I'll give you the floor back. Yeah, you're right. But the problem is the amount of teams that are in between. And that's what we tend to forget sometimes, you know, because someone's winning. Because a lot of those teams play one another. Someone is getting 2 points. You know what I mean? So that's why it's tough to make
the Dallas game. And there's 3 points coming out of that game.
Exactly. So. You know, you're crossing your fingers that there's 2 points, not three. And trust me, your scoreboard watching when it comes down to those teams. But that's the only thing. And I'll give you the floor back, but it's like when there's so many teams in between, it's hard to make that gap.
100%.
You know,
they've got a mountain to climb, no doubt about it, if you're talking about Arizona.
Well, I think the team that you should really hone your sights in on here is Seattle.
Sure.
You know, we have, it would really be...
Magic yourself into a Yanni Gourde.
Exactly. Yeah. Yanni Gourde is the one that you'd really, really like to see get pried out of there. It would be awfully expensive, but... Boy, is that guy, does that guy check some boxes for you. Your problem is solved
indefinitely then.
Yeah, like you feel pretty good. Even at his age, the next 2 years, you feel great about your center depth, 1, 2, and 3, with McKinnon, Gourde, and Ross Colton. So that one you feel pretty good about. How do you feel about Alex Wennberg?
Not as good.
Because that's another guy that you're having a conversation about in terms of if they sell him.
Yeah.
There's no immediate replacement for him unless they finally give the reins over to a Shane Wright and say, okay, we're going to use the end of the year to really get your feet wet, get you really seriously embedded into our lineup and start working on next season.
And I want to stick semi with the Seattle conversation here. Is the thing that could help the Avs the most there is LA getting it together?
Yeah. To be honest, if you're really dead set on trying to get Yanni Gourde out of there, you need Seattle to fall out of it for real.
Over the next 2 weeks, basically. Yeah.
You need Seattle to really, and then to be looking at the bigger picture and saying, okay, Vancouver's young. Look at all the levels of guys that they have. They've locked up a lot of their talent.
Yep.
Vancouver's not going anywhere, okay? Vegas is also probably not going anywhere.
Agree.
Edmonton is probably not going anywhere. So where is your path to the postseason in the Pacific Division if you're the Kraken?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to make
that
point. Not
just this year, but I mean next year, too.
I get you.
So if Colorado makes a big offer for a guy like Yanni Gourde, you really want them to fall out of that race over the next few weeks to open to get them a little more open-minded to this.
Because Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, forget about the order. It might change.
It doesn't matter.
But those three aren't moving, okay? Yep. Vancouver, Vegas, Edmonton, they're not moving. L.A.'s not going in there. I mean, L.A.'s going the other way. Listen, Edmonton's played 49 games. They have five games in hand on Vancouver.
Edmonton is certainly a playoff team. I'll put it that way.
I'm gonna put Edmonton in those three. They're gonna be one of those top three. So then it comes down to what you're saying there. Hold on. You're right. So then you got LA, which they got the coach bump, the first game, and then all of a sudden last night they lose seven nothing.
The next 3 weeks will be huge for what the Kings want to do.
And then you got St. Louis that's been battling it out, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they fired their coach, And then you got Nashville, Calgary, Seattle, like you said. Now, Calgary, realistically, it's what they've done for so many years, try to sneak in the playoffs. Do you really have the team to win the Stanley Cup? I don't think so. So I think, and again, that put them there because they won five in a row. Are they going to win 10 in a row? No, they're not.
They made their decision when they decided to move on from Lindholm.
That's what I'm saying. So I think you're going to see a sell-off there. You're going to see Hanifin. You're going to see Tanev. And I think you're going to see, and again, this is just me. I think Markstrom, someone's going to come and get him. So this is my thoughts. This is not by talking to anybody. I just think that they're going to move on from him. And I think they'll have an offer there from someone. Don't know who, but someone's going to go. Get Jacob Markstrom.
Jersey.
There you go. You read my mind. So I'm just saying, I'm just saying, it just makes sense. So now where they're at, and you're right about this, and again, sorry, I got to go back to my standings here, but Seattle, yeah, you want them not to win like last night 2-1 in New York Islanders, right? You want them to lose. Mm-hmm. And then realistically, where are you at with Yanni Gourde? Where are you at? You know what I mean? And that's, you're right. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's he makes a lot of money, but... For the Avs, like, can you go and pry that? You know what I mean? And it makes it so much easier. It's a new franchise. You're going, like, all of a sudden you make the playoffs last year. You win a round. And now you're in a position, when you look at this, like, you're in a position that you got to sell what you got to sell in my book. You know what I mean? Even though it's so hard to do. Anything can happen once you get in the playoffs. Yeah, but do you really think you're going to win the Stanley Cup with that roster? Probably not, like, in my book, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same thing with Minnesota and Arizona. You know, they're going to unload. Who did they sign on 1 year deals? It was Zucker. Was it Kerfoot too?
Like, Kerfoot got a multi. I think
Kerfoot got multi.
But especially Dumba, the guys on a 1 year deal.
Dumba's
on a 1 year deal.
But the guys on a 1 year deal, someone's going to take a shot at, right? You know what I mean? And then just go.
I think the team that intrigues me the most here is LA. Because. LA's Jesus. Greatest strength is center depth.
Yeah.
But they've made an 8-year commitment.
To PLD.
Dubois's not going anywhere. There isn't anything that they can really do about that decision at this point. They can't turn around and sell him.
They're just stuck with it.
Yeah. They're going to have to try and make that work. And they're so tight up against the cap that I really do. I would at least ask the question.
PD?
Is Phil Deneau somebody that they think of as a luxury, as a third line center?
Not PLD, but PD.
Exactly. Would Phil Deneau be somebody that they, if they continue to sink out of this,
I know,
over the next couple of weeks?
Oh, I love them.
Would that be, because if their number one thing, they need a goaltender. So the Avs can't really help them with that.
No.
So, that's where if they wanted to move a Byram or something, like, that would have to be a futures. That would have to be Cal Ritchie, a first round pick, whatever. But for Phil Deneau, you should be comfortable making that decision.
Oh, I would do crimes to get Phil Deneau on the Colorado Avalanche.
You're talking about a fit with the Avs?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So Phil Deneau is a guy that I'm at least curious about.
Jesus.
Most of them.
Like steal a bag of chips?
Because.
He would, in a heartbeat.
With Deneau, he checks all the boxes that the Avs would want.
Yep.
He's an excellent defensive player. But in theory, you would drop him between Nichushkin and Lekkonen.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, dude. Like,
it's the worst line in the NHL to play against.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then you roll out a third line of Miles Wood, Ross Colton, and Logan O'Connor.
Into the ground.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, great. Those guys have finally gotten off the ice. And now here comes Nathan MacKinnon again. Like, it would be like the bow on your forward core where you're like, oh, my goodness. But LA would only make that move because they're trying to free up money to go get a Markstrom or a Soros. So it would have to be very futures-based and not Bowen Byram. They don't want to take back a lot of money. So it would need to be you're giving up a first-round pick and you're giving up Cal Ritchie and maybe and Sean Behrens. Just as I don't know what they would want, but it would have to be a pretty penny like that for a guy that...
What's he got left?
Yeah, the money would just be so hard to make.
I know. What's he got left?
It wouldn't, though.
He's got 5 years left?
From, I mean, five, like... Right? The Avs making the money if they're trying to move a roster piece.
Oh, for in the immediate?
Yeah.
That's one where they would have to just give, they would have to be the Rigel giveaway.
Yeah.
Because that covers the majority of that money.
Sure.
I assume you're looking at their roster right now. How many years does Deneau have left?
He has four.
Four?
Yep.
Four
after
left.
After this?
No, four total. Three more.
So three after this. How old is he right now?
He is 27? No, I'm at 30. Sorry.
He's 30?
Yeah.
So I have, me personally, I'm good. I have no concerns here.
As far as like future, yeah. I'd be all in on Deneau. It's just, you're looking at a situation where it feels like both teams are a move away from being there still.
LA, if you're LA, you don't make this move because one, having center depth is one of the strongest indicators of postseason success.
Yep.
The other thing here is, it doesn't matter what the Avs want to give you. Do you really want to give the Avs Phil Deneau? Do you really want to take one of your prime competition for coming out west and solve their biggest problem for the next several seasons? Even if you get UC Soros out of it, is LA better positioned to win a Stanley Cup with Phil Deneau and a goaltending problem? Or with Phil Deneau in Colorado and UC Soros in LA?
That's a great point.
So I would say is a different path entirely. First, if you're telling me that, I think they keep Phil Deneau. But I think you could make an argument for LA wanting a Bowen Byram if you ignore the cap situation for a second. Because you're looking at their defense. Yeah, they still have Doughty. Great. He's not getting any younger. They have Gavrikov, a guy they've bet on. Okay, fair enough. After that, kind of falls off pretty quick. I know you guys are fans of Mikey Anderson, but he has his limitations.
He's good.
Matt Roy, he's pretty hard bottom pairing guy. And then, not to take anything away from Clark, him, he can be a functional NHLer, but you're talking about Andreas Englund being an every night player for them.
Yeah, and I think that's where what's going on with Brent Clark.
Yeah.
Well, they got Clark and Spence, right? So I think they've been alternating
this
them.
I think Brent Clark or Jordan Spence is a guy that has to go in a move for a goaltender.
And that's probably what they're trying to do.
That's where a Byram might make sense for them. The problem is just the money.
Yeah, and obviously making the money work would be very difficult. Yeah. But conceptually, you could see how they would have interest in making a move for a Byram.
But you could also see where both of those teams are like, we'll talk about this in July.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help them in the immediate.
For sure.
But if they, all of this to come back around, if they continue to lose games and they continue to give away that gigantic advantage that they had built and their games in hand advantage eventually goes away and they end up in a dogfight with some of these teams, because right now they still have a pretty serious games in hand advantage over the teams that they do either already ahead of or tied with
three to four games in most cases.
Exactly. So if that goes away, dude, Blake needs to seriously consider a shakeup there. And unfortunately, he's hitched his wagon to PLD.
Yeah. Are we hurtling towards worst case scenario for the Avs where everyone in the Pacific is still in it on March 5th?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
The other thing about LA moving on from Phil Deneau, you still have a Quentin Byfield conversation. He's having a breakout year this year.
I think it makes it hard because of the breakout.
Would you like to continue having him as a wing in your top six, or would you once again try and put him down there, knowing that he is playing as well as he is, having him as your 3C there, trying to work his way up?
I just don't see how they could do that.
I mean, in terms of trying to replace Phil Deneau on the fly, that's a pretty good answer. And it's a lot easier to replace Quentin Byfield the wing than it is PLD or Phil Deneau the center.
You're talking about an LA team that wants to be competitive right now. Yeah. It's a hard sell for me to take a guy who you're finally getting something out of and say, we'll just throw him at center.
hopefully it works out.
But not in a top six role.
It's still. And look, if you're in a world where you've convinced yourself that you can get rid of Phil Deneau, I get it. But I don't see LA getting to that point.
I don't. I mean, for me, I would also say it's extremely unlikely. But it is one of those things that I'm keeping an eye on it.
I'm open to LA making mistakes because the Avs capitalizing on it.
The big thing with LA is some of these guys might be younger, whatever, but Kopitar and Doughty are aging.
It's true.
And they are still 1C and 1D on that roster.
Yep. Yeah.
They have to try and make this work now because 3 years from now, those guys won't either be around anymore or they won't be at these levels anymore. Very likely won't be at these levels anymore.
The fact that Kopitar keeps doing it at this point is magic.
Exactly. But their money, they've spent so much of that money already that if they have an opportunity to go and get a goaltender right now, they can't just keep saying, we'll fix it in the summer.
Yeah. At a certain point, you have to just go for it.
Exactly. And that's where maybe just saying, we're not worried about putting Phil Deneau in Colorado. We're going to go and get a better goaltender than what the Avs have. We expect UC Soros to outplay Alexander Georgiev in a best of seven.
Maybe.
Because if LA goes and gets UC Soros, as an example, coming out of the Pacific side of things, it suddenly becomes a lot more palatable. You're going up against Aiden Hill. Do you fully trust him? Stuart Skinner, do you fully trust him? Thatcher Demko, that guy rules.
Look, it wouldn't be the first time that an NHL GM loses his mind to the trade deadline, all right? It happens all the time. We see people make crazy trades. All the time.
I get it, though, because you're like, you're right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Or at least you feel like
that. Yeah. That's why it doesn't make sense for Calgary. It doesn't make sense for, Seattle. It doesn't make sense for Nashville. But, yeah, LA is in a different boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they've been there, and they're like, okay, how do we make that next step? You know?
And with Nashville, you're looking at... You have a tip-top goaltender prospect at the AHL starting games for you, where you're like...
All right, you got me convinced.
Are we really going to double UC Soros' salary to continue trying to fight for a wild card spot, or are we going to trade UC Soros for a Brant Clark?
All right, you got me convinced. I'm going, not only is Markstrom getting traded the next 3 weeks, but so is UC Soros.
I mean, UC Soros, Markstrom, replace UC Soros in this conversation with Jacob Markstrom.
Same exact conversation for me.
I know.
All right. Well, you might not be trading for goaltenders, but if you're looking to add some bobbleheads to your collection, get yourself over to FOCO. Bunch of amazing sports merch when it comes to FOCO. That's FOCO.com. They are a leading manufacturer of sports entertainment merchandise, and they also have licensed apparel from all of the major sports leagues. So get over there, get what you're looking for, whether it's cool little pins or Avs merch, whatever you might need. You can get 10% off when you use code DNVR10 at checkout. You see all these bobbleheads and stuff in the background. Most of those are FOCO stuff. So a bunch of awesome merch items when it comes to FOCO. If you want to dollop your sports watching cave, wherever you might get your sports on. FOCO always has our back for Colorado sports, and they have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in our description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code DNVR10 for that 10% off over at FOCO.com. And then, when you got that little extra money to spend, you can also hit up Circa Sportsbook. Jump on with Circa. Obviously, we went out there for the Avs stuff in Vegas. Always a great time to hang out at the actual Circa Casino. But you can also play at home when you download the Circa Sports app. You can get in on all of the gambling, all of the good times when you bet on, I don't know. Lately, I feel like the Avs are actually a terrible team to bet on. Maybe go bet on the Nuggets or someone who's a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, but, the Nuggets who keep getting blown out.
Yeah, well, hey, if they're consistent, it's a good thing to bet on. You know, I'm just saying. The Avs games feel like they're all over the place, even when they lose. So a little bit tougher to bet on. But go hang out with these guys. If you are heading out to Vegas, of course, make sure you book your stay with Circa. You get 20% off your stay in Vegas at Circa when you use code DNVR at checkout over at CircaSports.com. And, of course, the Circa Sportsbook app is available here in Colorado to download when you go to CircaSports.com. Circa Sports bets can only be made while physically located in the state of Colorado. Must be 21 or older. All rights reserved. Circa Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ProblemGamblingColorado.org. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, talking Western Conference playoff bubble. I want to be realistic about a couple of teams in the standings here, because we just spent a bunch of time on LA. Do we feel like they're still a playoff team, even with the struggles that they've gone through?
I'm going to say yes.
One too yes good a start. And one awkward look.
It's just so bad.
It's bad.
It's so bad. It's not like, man, they just can't figure it out. They're getting rocked.
Yep.
Regularly.
That's not rock 7-0. That's not rocked. What?
For the record, it's been a tough stretch for most of the bubble teams in the West.
Yeah, there isn't anybody taking it.
No.
That's really stepping forward and saying, hey, you know, that it might end up getting decided because Jordan Binnington is playing better than all the other goaltenders involved. And it may just be that easy. Yeah. The guy who plays the best in net gets his team just enough to get into the postseason.
Squeak into a first round loss against whoever.
And this is where you look at LA and you're like, you have to make a move for a goaltender. And if we're talking making a move for a goaltender, UC Saros and Jacob Markstrom are their direct competition for those playoff spots. So literally almost going by default
directly against them. Yeah.
I don't trust any of those teams more than I trust LA to eventually figure it out. LA is, I think, too talented.
Yeah.
If they can get fully healthy, you know, at least close to healthy, then I think that the Kings have to make it in.
Yeah, I think they're there.
Eric, I know you hate overlooking at standings and stuff, but what is the trigger point? When does a team consider themselves out of it? Because I know there's a lot of chatter out of Minnesota that's saying, hey, we're still in it. We still want to try and do this.
Yeah, those people are fucking delusional.
They're 5 points back of a wild card spot right now.
I think...
doable.
Again, I just said it about Calgary. Last week, they go and win 5 in a row. All of a sudden, you're like, you put yourself back in there. But are you going to really win 5 in a row every 5 games? You're not. Right? You know what I mean? So it's like, then you get back to reality. Then you find yourself at, oh, we're back to 8 points. And it's like, but really, even if you make that margin and you get in there, are you really going to win the Stanley Cup? People say that about the LA Kings back then. I'm like, oh, hold on. This is a different team that had Kopitar, Quick, Doughty. I mean, stop. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't an 8th place team, the Kings back then.
You look at the Florida Panthers of last year, too.
Yeah.
They may have finished 8th in the standings, but when you look at their lineup, exactly, you understand that they underperformed. I mean,
you could be an 8th place team and then be built for the playoffs and then go win. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think any of those teams right now in the bubble are built for the playoffs. I mean, maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm just being too harsh. I don't see it.
LA would be the closest.
Well, that's what I mean. LA, I would be like, okay.
Which one of those teams do you have any confidence in a postseason series? Like, because of their success last year, do you have any confidence in the Kraken?
No.
They're not having the extremely charmed season that they did last year. No. So
and they
some
actually,
of that shine is
they're actually
off.
Getting goaltending from Joey Decord this year, and they're still not.
And that's why I think that.
Extremely reliant on overtime, too. Yeah.
But even if you're looking in the East for a second, like, you know, like. It's the same thing. Like, you win a few games. Are you really built to go in? And trade deadline's coming up. So if you're
you're allowed to say it. You can say you're talking about the New York Islanders.
Yeah, Islanders, Pittsburgh, right? I'm just saying, right? I mean, look at Pittsburgh. They got that hot potato in Getzel, right? Yep. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hot potato because you're built to win now, right? You have Letang, Malkin, Crosby. You go and get Carlson. And then you have...
Jari, a huge contract.
Hot commodity in Getzel that... apparently turned down over $8 million a year, right? You know, so now it's like, what do you do with him? Like, do you trade him? So that means if you're trading him, you're really giving up on the season, right? Because I don't care what you say, what kind of spin you tell your fans, you've given up. Like, I mean, right? I mean, like, there's no ifs and buts.
That's just the reality.
It's just a reality. Yeah. And you have Sidney Crosby, and you look at him, you're like, yeah, we traded against him for assets. They'll be good in 4 years. Crosby's like, 4 years.
I got 2 years left.
That won't help me.
Yeah, no, those assets have to be moved in the summer for shit that helps now.
And Crosby's not going anywhere. Crosby's not coming to the F. Crosby's a Pittsburgh Penguin. He will be forever. He ain't going anywhere. Well, move on. But, and then now they're saying Gensel, like, for a rental, he's going to cost you a first, a rental, sorry, a first, a roster player, and then a prospect. Huh? That's a lot for. That's a lot for a rent, like, you know, rental players.
Yep.
If you're not comfortable. But if you're going for it, I got no problem with that. But it depends what team and what fit. Again, I go back to that word. So when is it? Like for me, Minnesota, all those guys, it's, hey, whatever you got to sell, sell right now.
I was going to say, I think we're maybe all comfortable calling Arizona probably out of it at this point.
I would say so.
Probably, yeah.
If you have any.
If you're saying maybe even Minnesota, you're good with
yes.
just saying they're not in it.
I would say sell it.
Because it also behooves you to be one of the early sellers.
You should make the decision early for sure.
Because if Pittsburgh waffles on this decision and then they get to right up against the deadline and they're saying, well, we're not moving him for less than this.
Yeah.
And they get to it and they ultimately decide, hey, all these other teams made moves.
Yep.
They went and they plucked guys out of Calgary and Minnesota and Seattle. And there isn't the high end buyer looking for the Jake Guentzel anymore, saying, hey, we burned those assets.
Just out in the cold, yeah.
We made these decisions. It behooves a team to decide, hey, we're gonna make this move now. We saw it with Calgary already this year.
Doing Lindholm
has moved Zadorov and Lindholm this season already.
Yep.
We are fairly confident that they're going to move Tanev and Hanifin.
Yep.
And maybe Markstrom.
Like, there's more work to do. Minnesota should be looking at that, not as Calgary as competition for a playoff spot, but as Calgary for
seller,
the other team selling teams.
Yeah.
You want to be the team that actually gets out in front of it and says, okay,
yeah,
we're gonna find a price that we're comfortable. If they don't find it, then it is what it is. But the other thing with a team like Minnesota, though, is who are you trading? Calgary has guys that you can identify.
Outside of just giving away Fleury to somebody.
Yeah, it's Fleury.
Fleury, that's a gift.
Yeah.
It's Fleury.
Fleury's a gift.
Because a lot of their like really good depth forward guys, you know, Freddie Gaudreau, Marcus Foligno, they keep signing.
That is true.
They keep signing all these guys.
Extending these dudes. Let me see who else is on this list.
Bill Guerin's entire thing seems to be, we think we have a really solid team, and we're going to wait. We're just going to keep waiting until the buyout money drops off. The cap's going to go up. We're going to be flush with cap space. We feel like we're going to be good. We're going to bring in a couple of really high-profile guys with all that money, and then it's going to be go time for us, and everybody's going to have to worry about us.
For sure.
That's clearly the plan.
The only expiring deals that might have any amount of value would be Brandon Duhaime. And Zach Bogosian. So it's not great. Goligoski, too.
Hold on. But Duhaime, somebody would take him, yes.
I'm sure someone would, but I don't think it would be a high price.
No, it's not a high price. I'm saying you're talking about a plug energy guy.
Yeah, like that's not a guy that you are trying to sell early to try and get ahead of the market. Yeah. That is not
like in the Barkley Goudreau's back then. And, you know, it's that type. I'm not saying he's as good as Barkley Goudreau was. I'm saying, but, you know, who would have thought Goudreau would have fetched a first-round pick. Brendan Hagel. Like, all those guys. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just, you know, he's not, Duhaime's not that. But if somebody knocks on your door, says, I'll give you...
someone could do the Pat Maroon thing again for the billionth time, but...
I mean...
He's injured right now.
He is. You're also talking about a guy that moves like a glacier.
Yeah, I'm not saying the Avs should have anything to do with it, but some team seems to make that decision every year, so... is what it is.
Maybe it's run its course. Who knows, right? I mean.
Anyway.
What a run he had, though.
Oh, three cup finals.
Lucky guy.
Yeah. Four.
Maybe it was four, yeah.
Yeah, because he had St. Louis, Tampa, Tampa, Tampa.
Yep.
Four.
Won three in a row.
Yeah. Four and finals in a row.
Lost the fourth one, yep.
Wow.
Bitch.
The Corey Perry curse is stronger than the Pat Maroon charm, I guess. just a conversation I wanted to have to look at the playoff picture in the West now, because we will be watching it 2 weeks from now as that deadline approaches to see which teams have fully fallen out of it.
Yeah.
And
it's a big pit of mediocre, dude.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because look, is it likely that a Phil Deneau or a Yanni Gourd or something becomes available? No. But it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that a player of that caliber could suddenly come available at the start of March.
Man, I will also tell you that if we're looking at LA as a likely playoff team and they get it together in the second half, last 30
you
games.
You don't want to catch that team? Man.
Dude, you want to be the top seed out west. You do not want to be the number one seed hosting LA or Edmonton, maybe Vegas.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hell to the no, you don't want that.
I know.
Hard agree. That would not be a fun series.
Maybe you're better suited if you have Yanni Gourd on your lineup at that time. That's the guy we're going after. Yanni Gourd.
If they have Yanni Gourd, I am in no way concerned about their matchup, and I am concerned for everybody else that matches up against the Avs.
That's your poor Phil Deneau. You know what I mean? Like whatever you call that poor man. I think he's more realistic.
I think
he's more realistic than we think.
I don't think he's very realistic, but I think he's more realistic than a Deneau, for sure.
I think, I'm a betting man, I think it's going to be Adam Henrique.
It's the one that's made the most sense for months now.
Yeah, Alex Wennberg is another one where it's like, this just makes sense. He's a good offensive player. He's going to be surrounded by, he would be surrounded by two very good defensive players.
Yeah.
This just tracks. Like, he's this a math, smart player. The math adds up, and he's not going to be very expensive. It's not going to cost you a first rounder.
Something.
Well, make sure
it's not for me.
Whoever the Avs get, you watch them play with the Avs on Fubo TV. Head over to FuboTV.com/DNVR today to get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Use that QR code on screen as well. Over 140 live channels, including all of your Colorado sports. You got movies, news, television, music, all that good stuff when it comes to Fubo. Super easy to use. There's no contracts or anything, so you can cancel at any time. You can even get a free trial when you go to FuboTV.com/DNVR, so you can try it out first. When you get Fubo Pro, it comes with 1,000 hours of DVR, so even if you're not at home, you can always record whatever show it is that you might want to catch, or the Avs game, or whatever. Fubo has you covered. Jump in with them now. Again, FuboTV.com/DNVR. Use that DNVR code to get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. And then when you want to go watch sports in person, head yourself down to Infinity Park at Glendale. A fantastic venue. Honestly, a great place just to go hang out for like a day. There's so much cool stuff to do there. They have an arcade even like built into the arena. So a bunch of dope stuff there. And then you can also
a spring day.
Yeah.
Like 65 degrees and sunny.
Yep. It's perfect.
At Infinity Park on a Saturday with the fam.
Yep. It's awesome.
Excellent.
And the American Raptors come back March 17th. They got a nice little homestand if you want to catch some rugby. You can also follow DNVR_rugby on Twitter. Our man, Colton Strickler. Every year I look at all of the like elite rugby players and coaches and all the access that he gets, and I'm mad jealous because he talks to everybody in that sport. It's super cool. So,
although we might have some cool stuff coming up.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But either way. Go
I should
get
say
him.
Some more cool stuff.
We've yeah, done a we've, lot of we've cool done shit a bunch of year. Cool stuff. Not going to lie. We're doing pretty okay with ourselves. But go follow him. Go get in with the rugby. He has 101 pods if you want to learn the sport. Always a great time supporting the American Raptors. Head on over to AmericanRaptors.com where you're going to get tickets for just $10. All right. Before we get out of here, first of all, we do have one super chat from Melanie who says, yay for the win last night. I hope they can keep it up. Thanks, friends, for all you do. Thank you very much, Melanie. Looking at it today, Colorado, Henrique, Wennberg, Gourd, Eriksson Ek, whoever it ends up being, who is the favorite in the West in y'all's mind today?
As a team?
As a team. Knowing plenty of moves to come may shake things up. I want to know today, and then we can compare to post-deadline.
I think my favorite team right now is still Vegas.
Okay.
You know, they've only gotten like 20 games out of Shea Theodore. They've been really hurt. Aiden Hill has missed a lot of time, but when he's played, he's been spectacular.
It's true.
I don't fully trust that he's actually as good as he's played, but the structure in front of him is repeatable. The defense is great. The forward core is good. It's deep. If they get fully healthy, before the deadline, they're still the team that I look at and say that team scares the jeepers out of me.
Are we allowed to take the Avs? Or
yeah, you can take
of course.
The
Avs. Anybody
oh, okay. I want to make sure. Yeah, I'm not being biased. I'm going Avs. I like your answer for Vegas. For me, if we weren't allowed to pick the Avs, I would go Vegas. Why? They're the champs. They got the DNA right now, championship team. But the Avs, for all the reasons, and I do believe, here's how I'm going to put it. I don't know how you beat that team 4 times in 7 games right now. Like in the West, I'm talking about. In the first round, second round. I don't see how you do it.
Well, they did just lose 4 in a row, but...
No, I know, but we're talking about a playoff series, it's all the same, and everybody's
we're also going to have 4 playoff road games in a row. So.
I don't see how you beat the Avs right now 4 times in 2 weeks. I don't see it.
2 good answers. Nobody picked Vancouver. Just saying.
I'm not picking Vancouver, man. No. I don't believe.
Me either. Just saying.
I mean, Vegas is a tough out. It's going to be a tough out.
Speaking of the Avs, though... In the wise words of a burgeoning hockey analyst that I am close with, team good, team bad, team good again.
Goes with your hat, you know?
Sometimes it all makes sense.
It do be like that. Don't have to overcomplicate hockey sometimes. Just see the good hockey, call the good hockey good. We're gonna get out of here on that note. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us today. We will be back tomorrow, obviously pregame, I believe watch along too, and postgame, of course. So be sure to tune into that. We'll be live Friday and Saturday as well. So we got a full slate coming your way still this week. We appreciate all y'all, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Y'all silly like the mayor. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.